Now, this is weird.
I have done some freaky shit.
Hey, boys, I have a headache.
That makes absolutely no goddamn sense whatsoever.
Movies in the Buff.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery. Carl?
You know what a plan is? A plan is a list of things that ain't gonna bloody fucking happen.
Lisa?
Is that a killer right cross?
No, it's a killer silver cross. Okay, that was bad.
It was.
Like...
I'm looking for a man with four fingers in a briefcase.
So many jokes in so little time.
I know.
I kind of want to ask Scully what she did with his other finger.
Okay.
You want to know how many fingers are on the other hand?
And on the other hand...
Hey, I'm just going to give Scully props for implying extreme muscle control.
Yes.
She does Kegels. Anyway.
Her Kegels do Kegels, man.
There you go. Oh, and in case you haven't figured it out by now, which you probably have not, we tonight are buffing Snatch.
Oh, Such an unintentional lead-in for you.
Not mine. It's a movie.
Yeah, because the last time...
I don't know, as good as this movie is, I think I might rather buff Scully Snatch.
Yeah, because the last...
Oh, I'm so gonna hit you later.
Buff Scully. Anyway, I'm done. Can't do it. I quit.
Yep.
Oh, I can't go on. And
what happens
last
when
time...
you go unscripted? You just it screws up from the beginning.
Exactly. You know, the last time we laughed that hard on the air was because of David Bowie's cock. Now it's because of fucking Snatch.
The two do not go together.
Oh, God, no.
Given what we saw in Labyrinth, I hope not, for Scully's sake.
Yeah, no.
Anyways. Yeah. While transporting a pinched 84-carat sparkler to his stage-side boss, a gangster stops off in London and inadvertently triggers a slew of fateful events that wins through the world of bookies, pawn shops, bare-knuckle boxing, and swine. Wins?
Wines.
W-E-N-D-S. That's what's on here.
Oh, wins.
Okay. Is that an actual word, or is
it... Yeah, it's wins. It's like wines.
Okay, got it. My vocabulary, as advanced as it may be, doesn't know some words like that. So we will start off with a like and dislike segment. And given that horrible, horrible joke at her expense, I'm going to let Scully start this off. Scully, is Snatch wet or frigid for you? I'm sorry.
Not as serious you're going to be.
Oh my god, yeah. No, and, it's wet. it's a favorite movie of mine. It's a go-to anytime you want to see a really good British humor from the 2000s and not from the 80s and Monty Python era. So, yes, wet.
Now, that brings up an interesting question before I move on. I don't really remember the movie, but is this the kind of humor that I would expect from movies like The Full Monty, which came out a little earlier in British humor?
No. The Full Monty is the Monty Python type, or the actually it's closer to Shaun of the Dead.
Got it. Okay. It's just I've seen it, but I was a very young child, which is probably not a good thing to admit. And
that would be an interesting movie to review, though. It's a pretty good one.
Okay, so, Lisa, were you wet or frigid during Snatch?
I'm gonna have to go with slightly moist.
Slightly moist. Okay, so we've got one fully wet, one slightly moist. Somebody open a window. Oh, I'm gonna be making so many jokes tonight. All right, Carl, hard or flaccid because of Snatch? Floyd, you answer this.
I'm going to say hard because I really like the movie. However, I was laughing too hard and groaning too hard at all the screw ups to really actually get hard.
I know exactly what you mean, but and given our common theme of like or dislike, I'm also going to go with very hard for this movie. It cracks me up from the beginning. The dry humor in it just cracks me. The only problem is, and I'm going to return to this theme throughout our roundtable, just to warn you, but the only problem is this is what happens when you combine, what is the name of the director that did all the Army of Darkness and the Evil Dead series? He did Spider-Man. I can't remember his name now.
Crap.
It just slipped my mind right before I wanted to say it.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But this is what happens when you combine him with, like Robert Rodriguez or Quentin Tarantino. And then it would be the same movie that I would expect seeing those two directors getting together and making.
Sam Raimi, yeah.
Sam Raimi and Quentin Tarantino get together and this is the movie that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, and with that, let's just go ahead and move right on into our roundtable.
I'll correct you on that. This is not Sam Raimi and Quentin Tarantino made a movie. This is Joss Whedon made a Quentin Tarantino movie.
I could also see that. Either that or just Quentin Tarantino went with the Three Stooges and made them black, but... Did nobody else feel that vibe coming?
Kinda.
Like, yeah, kinda. Yeah.
Made the Monty Python reference. But seriously... The rest of the movie was dry. It was good British humor. It was, you know, breaking out of the Monty Python era. The black guys were so full on Monty Python stupidity. Only black, because
they're ever. They weren't random enough. That's the only thing like that got me. They're not random enough to really be Monty Python, where Monty Python is just out of left field. You're like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, they'll start a skit and then suddenly wind up doing something completely different. It's like, these guys have that same sense of humor, but they actually follow a storyline. Like,
true.
Yeah.
They have a point, a rhyme, and a reason to them. They're just sort of interjected as sort of the fool character of a Shakespeare play. Is they're here as they're smarter than they look, just not in this situation. Mm-hmm. And they move the storyline along.
Hey, Scully.
Yo.
This is a dead bird. This bird is no more.
It has joined the choir invisible. It would have fallen off the perch if it wasn't nailed there.
I love that skit. That's like my favorite Monty Python skit. But anyway, moving back to Snatch. Drink. just a half a drink, though, because we didn't go off that long. Let's start out just right at the beginning of the movie, where you have the explanation of the gangster character coming from Jason Statham's character. What is Jason Statham's character's name?
Turkish.
Turkish, that's right. And I should have remembered that. And that is one problem I'm going to say I really had with this movie. There were so many characters that were so important to the plot, and they got them in there just fine, actually, surprisingly well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just had a hard time keeping up with everybody's name. But,
see, and I will refer back to our problem with Expendables. This is how you do an all-star cast.
Exactly. Well, and also, I mean, with exception of Brad Pitt and I can't remember the other guy's name, none of them were really stars yet. There were two people in here that were actually stars at the time.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, and I'm trying to think of the other guy's name.
Benicio del Toro?
Well, yeah, but he was in it for, like, what? 2 minutes.
He was in it quite a bit.
His character was. They never really showed him.
Yeah. Dennis Farina is not a
Dennis Farina.
You know, he's not an A-list star, but he was fairly well known.
Yeah, but he was the only other really well known at the time that this came out. Vinnie Jones was barely known.
Yeah.
He was that weird, dirty guy in the background in Rambo 2. That never helped.
And then Statham and
What year was this
was
made?
The guy who flew from America to
Dennis Farina. who I kept, while we were watching this movie, I kept thinking that it was, oh, crap, Burt Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Right now.
I kept telling you it wasn't, but I knew who it was. It just wasn't him.
Yeah.
Carl, immediately click on Jason Statham's name on the IMDb page.
Okay. Why?
Just do it. And listeners, right now, go to IMDb and look up Jason Statham's page.
Okay.
Now, look at the background.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I saw posters for it yesterday.
And my Google Chrome just crashed.
Lovely. Yes, The Expendables 2 comes out in theaters on Friday.
Yes, it does, and I will be going to see it.
Or it came out in theaters last Friday. Hello, future people.
Yep.
I'm all of an hour ahead of you, so...
Not you. All the people who hear this when it's released.
when this show is released, then Expendables would have came out last Friday, is what he's saying.
Gotcha.
Has anybody... Before we move on into Snatch really deep, has anybody seen Lock, Stock? Wow, did I actually just say it? Not kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Wow, I'm really glad I swallowed my drink just in time.
I'm glad I hadn't gotten a drink yet.
I have attempted to watch Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but I wasn't feeling well when I tried to, and I don't remember if I just gave up trying to follow it or if I fell asleep.
Well, may I point out that prior to Snatch, the only... I can't do this. Prior to Snatch, the only thing Jason Statham played in was Lock, Stock.
So prior to Snatch, the only thing Jason Statham did was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, when we're talking, these people had not become big names yet. I'm not kidding.
Like, yeah. I give you that one. Yeah. Yeah, it was another 2 years before he did Transporter.
Mm-hmm. And he played a few little bit parts in some American movies, but... Anyway, moving on into the movie, I always have a hard time. By the end of this movie, I can't remember the beginning of this movie.
Okay, the beginning of this movie is all the guys dressed up as Hasidic Jews coming in to steal the diamonds.
Yeah, and...
With Jason Statham doing the voiceover.
Yeah.
And out.
He's sitting in front of a guy who's looking down at the desk.
Yep.
And they're having a discussion about Carl's favorite thing to discuss. Biblical text and the inaccuracy thereof.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Which I'll admit was humorous, but it was also a little harder to follow.
It was, and I'm trying to think of how to say this. The opening scene, I literally, when we first started recording tonight, finally understood what was going on.
Mm.
Before we'd actually talked about it, it just kind of clicked. It was like, oh, that's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
When they were sitting
in the dark room, like he was explaining what his name was, and he was explaining Tommy, and then... to them stealing.
Yeah. I did not think that they were actually stealing a diamond.
Hmm.
Talking about the
movie. Oh, yeah, they're stealing the diamonds.
That did not click for me. As many times as I've watched this movie, that's never clicked for me until just now.
That's sad.
And that's part of the problem I have with the beginning of this movie. To me, and one of the reasons, like, I tried probably 6 or 7 times the first time I watched this to actually get into it. Because the beginning seems so dumb to me that I don't care.
Yeah. And what bugged me is the scene right after this, after they steal the diamonds, where you do that like high-speed flip through all the characters with their names. Oh, and it reminded me, it made me think of like an 80s sitcom intro.
Okay, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, it was like...
Where they'll freeze frame and have their name.
Yeah, it's like Quentin Tarantino does an 80s sitcom intro.
Wow. That's definitely something he hasn't tried to tackle.
No.
Like Snatch.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm not... In case you don't know, I am not a huge, huge fan of Quentin Tarantino. He's done some hit-and-miss good things, in my opinion. But mm-hmm. bad far outweighs the good in his work.
And you know, we didn't mention that the director for this, Guy Ritchie, looking at the things that he's directed, I've got to say that, you know, he takes what he's good at and sticks with it. I mean, compare the direction to this, Lock, Stock, and the new Sherlock Holmes movies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's pretty much the same stuff, but it's still good.
Revolver is another one that's on Netflix that I've been meaning to watch and haven't gotten.
I have not seen that one yet.
Jason Statham, Ray Liotta, that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I 100% agree with you. He definitely plays to its strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking through all of the resume of all the people involved in this movie. It's, wow. This guy literally took the best of everything that no one knew.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. This is definitely a man well endowed in his foresight.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to be well endowed to tackle Snatch of this magnitude.
I was setting it up. I was hoping somebody would die with it.
Oh.
Here's okay. A joke that by the time this podcast is done recording is going to be very old.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Like David Bowie's cock.
Oh, bad.
Fucking Snatch jokes. Come on, let's get to work and drill it home. next scene. The next thing that's actually on my mind and in my notes is the Pikeys.
Yep.
I mean, that was like...
But it's pretty much the next thing, because, you know, the next scene is Turkish sending... What's his name
Tommy.
Out to get a trailer? Yeah, Tommy out to get a trailer. Yeah. Or a caravan, as they're constantly called in this movie.
Because that's what they're called in UK.
I know.
I was watching this with a bunch of friends who were like, what are they trying to get? It's a trailer, okay? It's a trailer.
How do they work, caravan?
Say what?
Caravan!
Yes.
Right, I didn't mean to make your ears bleed there. That popped out a little farther than I intended.
And prior to this movie, I was not familiar with the term pikey.
Surprisingly, I wasn't either.
Is that actually a British thing, or is that something that they kind of invented
it's
for this?
Actually, a specific type of gypsy. It's the sort of Irish ones that wander around. So I unfortunately did know it, and I couldn't tell you where from. I watched way too much British TV growing up. So I unfortunately do not remember where I heard it from, but it's a specific type of gypsy. So it's not like the sort of Slavic Eastern European gypsy. They're gypsies in that, yeah, they float around from place to place, but they've got this really mashed up Irish English accent that nobody can understand. Like they say, although not nearly as bad, you can kind of understand them. But yeah, they're the same kind of thing. They okay. get in a lot of trouble and move around a lot.
I do want to say something. You know how gypsies have this reputation that I'm going to say probably 75% of the people in the world have never had the opportunity to test. You know what I mean? This kind of thieving, unsavory reputation. And I'm not trying to be racist here. I'm really not. But within the area that I work in, and you know, I work doing a lot of marketing and things like that, which means I get to go out to these neighborhoods and go and talk to people and introduce myself. Well, what I was unaware of is within the area there is this town that's an entire gypsy town. Mm-hmm. Seems completely, you know, contradictory to me because my thought of gypsies is that they move around, so why would they have their whole town? But apparently this entire town has ran gypsies. And I don't know this. I go out there. I start doing marketing. I'm here to tell you, if that town is any example, all of the rumors are absolutely true. Like, I'm not trying to be racist. I'm not trying to be mean. I've never really thought about gypsies in the past. But just based on this town that I've gone into, I had three different people try to pick my pocket. Now, this is out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Three different people try to pick my pocket, blatantly. I had one guy trying to get into the truck that I drive around while I was walking up to it. This is in broad daylight. So, I don't know. I just had to say that because that was really weird, and we watched this movie, and then that got popped in my head.
Okay, so from a quick look at Wikipedia, pikey is a pejorative term used to describe either Irish travelers or the Romani. It's comparable to nigger.
Or the
on
Romani.
On its level of ethnic slur.
Or the Romani.
Yeah, the Romani. Romani or the Irish travelers. In this case, they were Irish travelers.
I'm just saying those aren't exactly the same thing.
No.
At all.
But moving on into the movie, we have the first boxing match, which I have to say, as far as the actual fight and all that, I don't care. And not yeah. he, obviously. But as far as the filmography here, it's so gritty and dirty. This is Brad Pitt, who at the time, in 2000, is Hollywood sex god.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's right there with Fight Club as far as how gritty and nasty it is, and I loved it. Oh, mm-hmm. This was awesome.
Well, this is the first thing he did after Fight Club, so.
Yeah. And I guess maybe he was just in that mood at the time that he was doing a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to break away from his Interview with a Vampire roots there, but.
Which aren't really his roots, but
I know,
yeah.
That's just, I mean, come on, work with me here. Stop working against me. Seriously, his first movie was a movie called Hunk. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. After the boxing match, he knocks the guy out in one punch, which was a little
epic.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was awesome.
It was epic.
It looked great, but a little unbelievable at his size.
I kind of suspect there may have been some video play they had done with it, because he punched so quickly that it seemed artificially fast.
Mm-hmm.
And albeit, you know, Brad Pitt had just come out of a whole Fight Club movie, so he had already been doing all of the training, all of the fighting practice. So it may have been that, you know, he still remembered all of that training that he'd had to go through, but I really suspect they sped up in the actual shot, that particular punch to make it seem like it was extraordinarily fast enough that it could knock a grown man onto the ground in that split second.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying. I actually kind of agree, but at the same time, I just don't want to go out there because I don't know on that.
I will say that the punch was actually so quick that it was hard for me to tell exactly where he hit.
Yeah.
I don't think he even bothered to make contact. I'm sure if you go back and look at it in slow motion, the actual fist action is way far off from his face because they just sped it up or they cropped it just right. So you mm-hmm. never really can see where it even would make contact if it were an actual throw.
Right.
But there was a hell of a lot of distance between the two of them. So when he threw the punch, there was actually a lot of distance between the two of them beforehand. He had to close that gap and lean into it just to be able to throw the punch.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at pictures of Brad Pitt, and I just realized exactly from movie to movie how much he changes, like mm-hmm. physically changes. Like in this movie, I almost thought he was anorexic. Like he looked sickly,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. Lisa?
Yes.
You're being awfully quiet, and, you know, when we're talking about Brad Pitt's body, I kind of expected you to speak up.
There's not much there to talk about.
Oh!
Oh!
Yes! Oh, you know you want Brad Pitt.
Only from this
not...
movie.
Oh, come
this...
on.
No. I really,
no, this character
Brad
really
Pitt has never
one.
Done it for me.
Really? So,
yeah.
Scully, you got a thing for, like, tats, huh?
I have a really bad boy problem, which is why I married a nice, sweet geek. So.
Yep. More on that through email.
Yeah.
Read Scully's blog at. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope, I just have a bad boy problem, which is what, I mean, stereotypical girls have, so.
I guess that's probably true.
That I'm not alone. I'm really not alone on this.
Movies, though. I really do. You're one of those girls that goes after Vinnie Jones, aren't you?
More Jason Statham, actually.
Really?
Like the problem is Vinnie Jones is too pretty in the face. He dresses up, he comes across as a salesman. It's not the salesman I'm after, it's the dirty, doesn't have, you know, family kind of
tattoos. The man who, like, started out as a soccer hooligan and became an actor?
Yeah, he's still way too pretty in the face.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He cleans up too easily and too well.
Well, if you really feel that way about Jason Statham, I just have to say I'm balding too.
Good for you.
I'm just kidding. But I just realized Vinnie Jones played the Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
Like that did not click for me until just now.
That's okay. Wow. I was looking at the guy who plays Boris and realized how much I've seen him in.
See, I was wondering about that. Boris
yeah.
the Blade, which, by the way, Boris the Blade, one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Oh my god, yes.
And yeah, he's like in anything, anytime you need a Russian guy. Yeah, pretty much. Space Cowboys.
First Class.
Mission Impossible 2. Batman Begins. The Saint.
CSI Miami as yeah. Alexander Sharova.
Yeah. He's apparently doing a new series of movies about Nikola Tesla, which will be awesome.
That will be awesome.
Nice.
I love
yes.
Nikola Tesla.
They're rumored at this point.
He did do Tesla.
Rumored that who's going to be in.
He narrated a TV short about Tesla.
Yeah. But now he's going to play Milutin Tesla, which I think is Nikola's father, in a movie that's in pre-production right now.
Wow, and Batman...
Batman...
He played a Russian mobster, in Batman Begins, he played a homeless man. The one
yeah.
with the jacket. That's awesome.
Yep.
And only this man can be a mobster twice and homeless.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. See, after the fight, he goes back. They set up the fight. You meet the pig fucker. I mean, pig feeder.
Farmer.
Sorry, Freudian slip. I love the idea of a mobster being a pig farmer.
And by the way, Lisa, you were right about who Bullet Tooth Tony was. He is the Sphinx from Gone in 60 Seconds. Yeah.
He talks the whole time, and then at the end, he has this like full vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. I like any character Vinnie Jones plays.
Mm.
He is definitely one of my favorite actors.
That was actually something I did notice, because he did play an awesome character in this movie, but they actually, and it occurs to me, they lay out every character's introduction. So they do like a quick story on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you're introduced to all the gangsters, essentially, you're given this sort of why they have that name.
Yep.
So, they introduce them, and then there's, like, a cut clip. So, they're explaining, as a voiceover, who they are and what happened, but they're playing a video clip of how they got there. So, you actually wind up with this kind of cool multi-storyline going on. So, you get this really cool full picture of this environment and this... cast, so before anybody even says a line.
Yep.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that, and here's my thing about that in this movie. I've never really liked the over-explanations at all. In this movie, the flow was very nice, the style I loved, and it did flow really, really well to the point where it almost didn't feel like it was taking as long as it did. But when you take that out, you know, artistically, it's great, And at the same time, you still got, you know, 25 minutes of unnecessary information. Does that make sense at all to anybody?
No,
I get what you're saying, but all the things that you're considering unnecessary information are really necessary to really get invested in the characters.
Yeah, especially to understand later on, because the Blade, so the Russian as well as Bullet Tooth, it both of them, they had this whole storyline as to how impossible, like especially the Russian, how hard they are to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to several scenes later, where one of them, yeah, it was impossible to kill him. The other one was completely like accidental, mm-hmm. and was shocking when it did happen, because you're sitting there going, "Oh my god!"
But still, what I'm trying to say on that is, you're still spending, you know, 5 minutes to set up a 20-second joke.
Mm.
You know, I mean. And this is just my disagreement and artistic difference with the director, and who am I to say anything? He's rich, I'm not. But this is just my artistic disagreement with it. I believe that you have maybe two or three characters in a two-hour movie that even need backstory. Beyond that, takes away from the actual story itself.
This story is... Essentially, at its core, it is a bunch of fairly ordinary, although, you know, more than slightly shady people thrown into the mix, set on puree, and then nothing goes right for any of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an example of Murphy's Law in Top Gear,
but in order to appreciate how badly things are going for them and how they all ended up where they're at, you kind of need to know where they start.
It's actually very much a thuggish modern take of a Shakespearean comedy. It's literally the layup of a Shakespearean comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy of errors.
Exactly. It's right up there. Actually, a comedy of errors is actually the one I was thinking of. Along with Midsummer Night's Dream is another one that's it's very, very similar to. Where all of these characters are thrown in, and you're given a brief backstory to each of them so you don't feel lost. And trust me, there's enough characters in here and that you can get lost very quickly, especially with the names. So that you're actually watching this really intricate, laid up storyline, which ends up falling up into this hilarious ending that, ironically enough, works out. Mm-hmm. But you sort of couldn't have seen coming, even if you were paying attention to the entire story. By the time you hit the end, you were going, oh, wow, okay, I didn't see that one coming in. There were no hints to it earlier on. It was just sort of a Jack-in-the-Box event of a finale.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny that the two people who I considered to be the main characters of the movie, or at least within the three main characters of the movie, were the two people who ended up with the diamond that had nothing to do through the whole storyline with this diamond.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like that was
that's the whole
was
comedy of errors.
Yeah, that was a great little, for lack of a better term, Easter egg.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie. Anyway, moving on in our weird jumbled Swiss cheese version of a roundtable here. I'm trying to think of where we were at. We were after the fight, and I'm just going to move. I mean, obviously, there's just so much you can say about the dialogue in this movie. Unfortunately, you're never going to understand a bit of it.
It moves very quickly. Even somebody who's used to the accents, uh-huh. They talk so fast that you have to keep up. And it's one of those. And that's why you end up liking the movie at the end, is because everybody's talking so quickly that you're just struggling to keep up, and then it ends, and you're like, oh, that's funny! You find yourself laughing very short laughs. Like, haha, okay, I need to shut up and pay attention again, because now they're talking.
And this returns to my habit of putting on subtitles, and I won't say they were necessary, but they greatly enhanced my enjoyment of this movie. Simply by having the subtitles, because you could actually see how good the dialogue really is.
How do they do the pikey test?
It also helped to understand the pikeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, I didn't yeah, know. It turns it turns the pikeys from completely unintelligible to just a really cool accent.
Yeah.
Nice.
And as I had said last week before, after we had stopped recording last week's episode, when you watch this movie, you're going to want subtitles when Brad Pitt speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that you're not supposed to understand him 100% of the time, at the same time, like you said, it does turn it into a really cool accent instead of just a, well, now I'm annoyed because I have no freaking clue what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, the dialogue in here is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the fun is that, you know, it's delivered in, you know, for us, weird and obscure accents. But, you know, if you have the subtitles on where you can actually tell what they're saying, then you realize how really good this dialogue actually is.
But then, just to move on here, you have, the boxing match for Pig Fight, or... Sorry.
Yeah,
nice
no.
catch.
Yeah. No, that was actually, like, I was about to say it, and I thought, nah, better not. Like, halfway through the word. But the boxing match, the first boxing match you have, I saw this coming. Even the first time I'd ever seen this movie, I saw this coming.
Oh, yeah, I did, too.
I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew... That was one problem I did have with this movie. The twists that you're not supposed to get, I got. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It was just very obvious.
I saw some of them. Some of them I didn't. But some of them I did. And some of them I was like, wouldn't it be cool if this happened, and then that happened.
Yeah. The only twist that I really did not like in this movie, and just it felt out of place in this movie, was when they burned the mother alive.
No, yeah, he just had that entire speech about how pigs can eat people, and that didn't... No, the fact that they burned her in the trailer, I was like, oh, I honestly thought they would feed them to pigs, but okay, that one seems a little bit closer to, rather than having to get around an entire storyline of, well, how then do you get her with the pigs? It made sense.
I was thinking
after
that they were... They were trying to just piss him off. And the best way to do that is not to feed her to pigs, but to kill her while...
Publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, it ultimately came up to the point that to do it, he wanted a caravan for his mom, so they removed the reason for him to get one.
Exactly.
I get that, but just...
It also... The feel of that. If he sent his goons out, his goons wouldn't have just fed him to pigs. They would have done something else.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to see a movie called Elephant Juice.
What?
Sorry.
Wait, never mind. That'll be getting off track.
Yeah. I was looking at Lenny James' filmography and there's a movie called Elephant Juice. Back to what we were talking about, though. I don't know. Just the feeling of that scene seemed really out of place with the feel of the rest of the movie. Like, it did not feel right at all.
It would have been if...
I'm not saying it didn't really so much fit. I'm just saying that, you know... Does that make sense at all?
You're saying it felt a little off.
Yeah.
But there are several scenes in this movie that feel a little off. They all seem normal, except they're... We keep mentioning how they speak so fast and the storyline moves so fast, but there's entire scenes where, you know, after the you've coined them the Three Stooges, after the guys go and find the guy who has been carrying the diamond from the beginning when he stole it, they end up having this visit from Doug, who's the guy who's actually running these fights for Turkish and the Pikey. He suddenly, like, interjects himself into these guys, you know, this other alternate diamond storyline, and that scene felt so weird because he was talking so damn slow. It happens again when the Three Stooges show up and start to threaten Bullet Tooth Tony in a bar.
Bullet Tooth ends up stopping and talking so slow. There are these weird scenes, just like when Pikey's mom is burning, they slow the film so far down. Like, everybody talks slowly, the video starts going really, really slow, and
that
they're like
what messed with me.
Interesting points.
And even
they're very uncomfortable. Every time you get to them, you're immediately made uncomfortable, because just, like, I have no problem saying balls. I laugh every single time one of my coworkers says balls as a swear. But for whatever reason, in that slow speech, it bothers me when he says it. It's how he says it and how slowly he says it that it actually bothers me.
Even the wake seemed, and I got the point of it, but the wake seemed slow.
You felt like you were in a drunken stupor.
I thought I might be able to take a nap during the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that is... This is one of those movies that if I'm really having a bad insomniac episode, I can put this movie on and go to sleep. And it's not because of the fact that it's a bad movie. It's not because I don't like the movie. And honestly, the dialogue is hard enough to keep up with when you're not dozing off. But because of the weird rhythm of the scenes getting chopped up like that, as soon as one of those slower scenes hits, I'm out.
Actually, one of the other ones was the rabbit chasing scene.
Yeah.
That one was another one where I've hunted rabbits before, but I've never felt uncomfortable about it. It was very strange.
I haven't hunted rabbits before, but I've seen movies where they have, and it's like, I don't remember them being this slow.
Oh,
yeah.
That was intentionally slowed down. That was like half speed.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're saying, is a lot of these scenes were intentionally slowed down. And, and even the ones that weren't, the dialogue randomly slows down. And it does not fit the rhythm of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, and those are there as... And there's actually a technical term for that, but I don't know what it is. But they're essentially breathing points. They're where you have to vary your pace.
They're
slowing it down. They're giving you a breathing minute so that you can, you know, so your brain essentially can catch up with, you know, all of the fast paced stuff before that. And it's common, especially in these type of movies, and, you know, I'll throw a couple examples out of here that are on the on IMDb suggestions. Pulp Fiction or Lucky Number 11. Yeah. You know, you get that. You get, you know, high speed, high intensity stuff where it's just snapping from one scene to the next, and then you get, you know, a break scene where it slows down for a minute.
Yeah, but Pulp Fiction and Lucky Number 11, the way that they rhythm it out is a little more acceptable to your mind than the way they do it in Snatch. Basically, you have a fast speed, fast speed, fast speed, slower, 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 fast speed, instead of fast, 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 drop. Fast, fast, drop.
I don't know. None of this took me out of the movie. I really essentially, you know, the only one where I really noticed them slowing down was the rabbit scene. And for some reason or another, I don't remember what all else was going on in that scene, because I remember they kept cutting from that scene to another scene, and it didn't take me out of the movie or bother me all that much.
It was when they were torturing one of the guys who held up the bookies, because
they were
trying to find the guy with the gun, and...
Yeah, the big guy.
What was his name? The Tyrone?
Yes, yeah. Tyrone. Who's he gonna run from? Is there a getaway driver? What's he gonna get away from? It's like another really good one.
Well, after they bought
my car, my seatbelts.
After they turn Mama Cajun, they move on into, you know, him agreeing to do it, to do the fight, and dropping the fourth, which at this point, while he's saying it, I'm sitting there thinking there's no way he's going down.
Yeah.
Even the first time I ever watched this, I'm sitting there thinking there's no way he's going down. He's going to fight the system because that's what this character does. This character's been written 1,000 times
half
in history.
Half this movie made me want to call bullshit.
Really? Like, some of it
that
I believe.
Was one of them.
Oh, you mean just because
I mean, Yeah, like he's going down in the fourth. Bullshit. Yeah. I'm calling bullshit on that.
I thought you were talking about the actual believability of this movie, which honestly, I believe that all of this stuff could happen. Like, yes. I believe that it could and would happen in real life, which is something I do really like about this movie.
Yeah, it feels real.
I love the whole, anytime there's a conversation about a gun in this movie, I love it. And by the way, just in case y'all are out there listening, if you ever want to watch Snatch and do a Guy Ritchie drinking game, anytime somebody misuses or does not know how to use a gun, drink.
Yep.
But, and I'm trying to think of how to explain this. That's just a common theme in Guy Ritchie movies.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, somebody, I'd say at least 60% of the characters don't know how to use guns, and they're always the ones that actually have guns.
Mm-hmm.
But, I can kind of hear Scully laughing in the background here. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm reminded of the, like, my favorite scene actually is the gun that Tommy has. Doesn't even know how to use the damn thing. And they're making fun of him, and they kept referencing, Turkish keeps calling the Germans. Mm. And he's making fun of him the entire damn movie about having this gun and not even knowing how to use it. And then lo and behold, it's part of, at the same time that they're burning the mother to the Pikey, they are destroying the alternate income for Turkish and Tommy, which happens to be gambling. So they're going through and destroying all the slot machines. And he comes in and he's pointing the gun at the guys, and he doesn't even know how to use the damn thing. And it's just the best scene ever.
And on top of that, it doesn't even fire because
we've already established it doesn't work.
Yep.
Yeah. And I got to say that I loved that scene where he tries to fire the gun, it misfires. And this is hilarious for anybody who knows anything about revolvers. He points it out the window, pulls the trigger, the hammer goes off, the gun doesn't fire, and then what does he do? He brings it back in, sets it on his lap, and it's sitting there pointing at Turkish.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if it was a bad round and not a bad gun, then this thing is on it. Then that bullet is a slow burn, still in the chamber, and it's going to shoot Turkish. Like, I was expecting Turkish to get shot.
It lined up also to, like, the next, my absolute favorite scene in the movie, which I love to refer to as, like, this, like, chicken dance in the road from The Russian. It was the best scene ever.
Yeah, when they blow out the windows.
Yes.
I just want to say, guys,
oh my god, it's fantastic layout where they're gonna go get the Russian because the Russian was supposedly the one who had the diamond. So they've kidnapped him, Bullet Tooth Tony, and the cousin. Mm-hmm. And so they take the Russian, they throw him in the trunk of the car. Tommy and Turkish are trying to get a hold of the Russian because this is a guy who sold him a bum gun, and so he's going to go, you know, tell him what for, which is hilarious to think of in and of itself. And then the other three are attempting to get back at the Russian for laying them up the way that he did previous to the movie. So they've all got these fake guns that are apparently really loud blanks.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this amazing scene where there's no more than just throwing a glass of a carton of milk out a window, causing it to splash into a car, causing a car accident. There is somebody attempting to use the blanks inside the gun, which blasts all the glass out of a car. In the meantime, the Russian manages to make it out of one of the cars and is standing in the middle of the road like a chicken trying to figure out where he is. And he gets
hit by a car. He's bound head and foot and blindfolded. He's got a bag over his head.
Jeez. He's not blindfolded. He's not bound on his feet. Because he's using his feet to walk on the road to see what he's going to stumble into. But he's got a bag over his head and his hands are tied behind his back.
And he gets hit by a car that can't see because they have milk.
Milk on their
shattered
windshield.
No, they've got shattered windows.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They have the shattered windows. That's right.
The milk hit Cousin Avi and Bullet Tooth Tony.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The milk, which was thrown out by
Turkish's
friend.
Oh, yeah, Tommy.
Tommy.
Oh, I always
forget. And better yet, the Russian walks all the way home. Walks all the way home after being hit by a car. Walks.
And this
all
is
way
returning.
Home.
This is returning to
grabs
the thing.
Grabs gun and walks back.
Where, yeah, this is where you return to the fact that Boris is pretty hard to kill.
Yeah. I did. Like, from that moment on, I was addicted to this movie. What were you saying, Lisa?
This is where I realize there's another bullshit call. He was bound with his hands behind his back and a bag over his head.
No, they were in front of him. His hands were.
Okay, yeah. But either way, he gets hit by the car. Okay, maybe the bag's going to fall off his head.
And break the ropes that are binding his hands.
I was going to say, there is enough glass in this scene. There's broken glass everywhere. I would not be surprised between two car accidents.
I'm going to lose. I apologize.
I mean,
and of course, then we have the...
I apologize.
They have lost Rod.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
keep talking. Keep talking.
The only solution he could have had was when he landed, he was still awake enough, which I know me, I wouldn't have been awake at all, flying over the hood of a car, to use that broken glass to cut the ropes.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously no one else in this conversation, and I'm going to feel bad saying this, but obviously no one else in this conversation has ever used a piece of cloth to cover their hand while they punch through a window. So I'm just going to state this right now. When a window breaks in a car, it doesn't break in shards that you can use to cut ropes with. It breaks into little tiny pieces.
Yeah, it's safety glass. It's gummy.
Yeah.
It breaks into gummy pieces, which aren't very sharp. But yes, I just went with it. A, I went with it because, it's hilarious.
It's funny.
And B, I just assumed that, the ropes broke from the force of the impact when he hit the car.
Well, eventually you're going to be able to get them off anyway. And what I don't understand about this whole scene is why, with his hands bound in front of him, he didn't reach up and pull the hood off as soon as he got out of the trunk in the first place.
And well.
But, whatever. Suspend disbelief. It's a Harrison Ford law.
Yep. Drink.
And just move on. And what I meant when I said that this was the scene that got me addicted to this movie, this right here, from this scene until the end of the movie, was the reason why this movie is a once every 6 months to once every year movie for me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because this is where they all start intersecting.
Exactly, and it just becomes absolutely hilarious. And we did skip over a scene that I really wanted to talk about because I really love this scene. I love the way that it was portrayed when the Three Stooges, break into – I don't even know what that building was. I guess it was a bank.
It's a bookie.
A bookie.
It's
that's
where
right.
you place bets on fights.
Yeah. That's right. It was a bookie. Then the whole scene where they can't get out and they're kicking the door and all that, but nobody thinks to try the door.
Oh, no, you can't open the door from the inside. It's a security lock, and then...
But they've, completely given up everything.
Tyrone comes and opens the door from the outside.
And what I find interesting is, thinking back on it, I don't remember if they pulled on the door or just tried to push it open. But
no,
pushes...
they both tried. Honestly tried on the door. The problem is that, the door locks, so...
Either way, Tyrone's whole reaction here was just hilarious. Are y'all coming?
Yeah, and I've got to say that this is probably the most most security conscious bookie establishment I've ever even heard of.
Well, it's London,
and especially I know, and that's my point. Especially when you consider that this is a country in which guns are pretty much outlawed.
Yeah, which by the way, I have to thank the British for doing that because let's face facts, we wouldn't have nearly as funny British comedy if it wasn't for the outlawing of firearms.
Mm.
Like, that is some of the best jokes the British have ever came up with.
But no, the bookie there was actually owned by
Bricktop.
Yeah, who is the one running the fights, so he gets all kinds of fun mixing everything up.
Yep.
All right. So you have this, you know, round two of the Pikey versus Bricktop boxing match, which was, and I realize he wasn't fighting Bricktop, I'm just referring to the battle challenge there. And like I said, I saw all of this coming. When they pulled up to the arena, or the makeshift arena that they had going there, I'm looking at the car thinking, you've got about 20 Pikey friends. What are you going to do here? You're going to go and take that car, wait on them to come out, and then blast their ass. Because that's what you would do, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe it's just the way my mind works. That might be it. I don't know. But I really just foresaw all of this.
You're not the only one. Lisa, at the end of the movie, said, yeah, that was kind of predictable.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Lisa, for that. I don't feel so bad and criminal-ish.
No, there was a couple of times when I was telling Carl what would happen in the next scene, but most of the time I was thinking, well, this is going to happen. Yeah, okay, that's not how it's going to happen. And usually I was right.
But it's still, I mean, even if you can see it coming, it doesn't detract from the humor of it when it actually does happen.
No, I don't disagree with you, and I love the guys. Give me the shooter. I'll give you the fucking shooter. I love that. That was like, I don't know. That was a great action movie line in a not-so-action movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, all the culmination, then all of a sudden, for some reason through this whole thing, you never see a single cop.
Nope.
No, there's a cop.
Shows up. Prior to the ending scene.
Prior to the final scene, I don't remember seeing a cop.
Yeah, actually, no.
I think the only thing we saw were security guards when they robbed the stole the diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But and then in the last scene, you see the cops show up at the Pikey camp that's been abandoned, and it's like, where were you guys 24 hours ago?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Does the London response
better late than never?
Much. You've got people blasting guns in the middle of London, downtown London, at that. And the cops don't show up for 24 hours to figure out what's going on?
Mm.
Better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. I think that this movie would have gone... that had you introduced cops into this movie at all, then things would have gone even farther sideways than they did.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I have to respect that they didn't, you know, throw in the undercover cop that would be so fucking tropey.
Yeah.
But, I gotta respect that, but it just, I'm still questioning where they were at, you know what I mean? Why they didn't catch on to any of this. You've got car wrecks, for God's sake.
Yep.
Anyway. So moving on, you know, the Pikeys are gone, they get the dog, and you finally find out who's got the button.
Yep.
And I do love when they pump the dog's stomach, all the crap that comes out of it.
Partially undigested shoe.
Yeah.
Squeaky toy and a diamond.
Yeah.
But, which keeps changing carrots. Like, ever so slightly. It'll keep changing carrots.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it went from 81 to 83 to 84 to 87.
In the very last scene, it was 80.
At one point, it was 86.
The very, very last, like, quote was the partially undigested shoe and an 86 carat diamond.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind that nobody up until the end of this movie is actually an appraiser. Uh-huh. So everybody else is guessing.
That's
true. But, you know, with that high of a rating, I would think that it would be a pretty common knowledge. Like, that's the kind of piece that goes into a museum, not in a ring.
Mm. Well, it's the whole Jewish, and it's so stereotypical, it's the whole Jewish thing where, the Jewish population has a huge stake in jewelry and diamonds, and they've got family inherited jewels and gems, and they're never gonna like just let them go to a museum that's family heirlooms or belongings. And
well, and see, the impression I got from this one was that it was a fairly new stone. It wasn't one with a lot of history, you know, like the Hope or, you know, any of the other older ones that are in museums. This one was, you know, a fairly new one that had just been, you know, dug up and cut. And God, I gotta say, I loved the cut. The cut job on that beautiful.
Well, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is a Snatch Roundtable. I was gonna see if Carl was gonna choke on that one. I just had to.
No.
Okay. You about did, actually. Alright, so moving on into buff quotes. Let's see. Lisa, would you like to start off our buff quotes?
You show me how to control a wild fucking gypsy, and I'll show you how to control an unhinged pig-feeding gangster.
I so wish you would have actually, like, screwed that up and said pig-fucking gangster. I really was waiting on that.
I was reading it. I was reading it. I couldn't mess it up that way.
I was really hoping, though. All right, Scully?
Why does he have a tea cozy on his head? To keep his fucking head warm. What do you think?
It's just the fat. Anyway, see, and I thought the tea cozy joke was always a reference to the yarmulkes.
No, he actually had a tea
cozy. No, it was actually
that's what I thought throughout the whole movie. That's what I've always thought, is it was a yarmulke reference.
Nope. Okay. No, they actually tied a tea cozy over Benicio del Toro's head.
They duct taped a tea cozy to this guy's head. It was funny. Wow.
It is funny now, but
I want to know where the hell they found a tea cozy. I know it's England and everything, but
it was a pawn shop. I mean, come on.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of pawn shops, Carl, do you want to do your buff quote?
Oh, thanks. yeah, and you know, once again, I went with the most blasphemous line I could find. So, in the quiet words of the Virgin Mary, come again.
Oh, that ain't. You're going to hell. I mean, you are. You are
going to
burn.
Yeah, he's going to that special hell. We've already established this.
All right. And as for mine, and this is dedicated to all of you, just for the record. You're on thin fucking ice, my pedigree chums, and I shall be under it when it breaks. Now fuck off. I still want to know what the fuck that means. I shall be under it when it breaks. That doesn't seem like the place I want to be.
I know, I was thinking the same thing.
In cold water.
His intention is that when they fall through the thin fucking ice, he's going to be there waiting for them to beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
My whole thought is, wow, that's going to be a heavy fucking load slamming into you.
My thought is, are you actually going to live through this ice breaking? Because that's cold water.
Yeah.
My thought is that at your age, you're small enough, you don't need to add that cold of water into it.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right, so let's see, what do we have left? Oh, best buffed, actually. Let's see, Carl, you want to start off our best buffed?
Yep, and I gave this two awards. First of all, this is getting the Billy Shakespeare Award for Best Comedy of Errors. And it's also, and Scully, you're going to like this one, don't take a drink, it's getting the Drunken Terpster British Accents Award.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa?
Whether or not you're going to agree with me, I'm giving it the best way to circle back to connect all the characters, and the most predictable.
I have a name for that first one.
Mm-hmm.
I have a name.
And what's that?
Hollaback character.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That would actually work, too.
All right. See, the most predictable, I agree that it was extremely predictable. I have to disagree that out of all the movies that we've buffed here, that Snatch was the most predictable. I mean, what do the rest of y'all think? I mean,
I don't know. I don't think it's most. I think it's somewhere, but I think it is. It's probably fairly high up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely in the top like three, but
yeah. I'll go with it.
I'll go with it. All right, Scully.
The best use of DAGs.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to remember what she was talking about.
Sorry. Okay.
And also the most modern British humor to be able to get to all of us, you know, 90s generation and aughts generation kids. So it really did bring British humor back to us. So it's a British humor revival.
There we go.
Yeah. So we're giving it the British Humor Revival Award? Is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just trying to understand exactly what you just said. Kind of like British humor.
Or pikey.
Or pikey. Okay. Okay. To start off with my best buffed, I'm giving it the, and Lisa's going to love this, I'm giving it the button who's got the button award.
Yep.
For the diamond. I knew Lisa was going to love that. I am also giving this the Hey, I Know That Gypsy Award. For those of you who don't get the joke, it is a variation on our Hey, I Know That Guy Award, because there are so many before they were names in this movie. Also, like, all the gypsies at some point played in major movies other than Snatch.
The mother?
The mother did, actually.
Yep.
Wasn't the mother in The Fighter?
That I don't know.
That may have been where I knew her from.
And for those of you out there who have seen and really love this movie, I'm also giving it the one that Caravan Award. Caravan. Dags. Okay.
Do you like the eggs?
Dags. I like what?
Do you like Dags?
Dags. Okay. Moving
actually,
on.
Actually, no. The mom has not been in anything else I recognize.
I looked her up earlier, and...
And it's not who I thought she was.
It's quite gross. Anyway, moving on into Were You Playing With Your Willy?
Before we get to Were You Playing With Your Willy, Rod, I want to run a name change by you on one of your awards. Instead of the button, can we give this the Pink Panther Award?
I get where you're going at, but given with, you know, the personalities we have here, I'm just kind of dedicating that one straight to Lisa. So,
okay.
Because of her obsession with the phrase button. And for those of you who are not, you know, Carl, Lisa, or I, sorry, Scully, don't mean to outmote you there, but we were big, big Smallville fans. And at least one episode per season, Lisa would point out that this is the button who has the button episode. And I think in season 4 or 5 with the key, it was about third episode. She was pointing out that.
Yeah.
She really has a love for that phrase. So that's why I'm dedicating that one to her.
Gotcha. I'd forgotten about that.
Hats off to you, Rod.
Thank you.
Wait, I'm not wearing a hat.
Well, I'm not wearing
oh, well.
That's your point. Right. Nobody else catches this.
I didn't hear what you said.
You cut out in the middle of that phrase.
I said I'm not wearing hat. I said, well, I'm not wearing pants. What's your point?
That's because this is movies
that's
in
an
the box.
Overshare. Drink.
No. That was our first TMI of the night.
Too much inflammation. I mean, information. Snatch. I'm just going to, like, fall back on the two, like, default jokes that we have for tonight. Either just randomly saying snatch or dags.
Just as long as you don't try to combine the two.
I'm not legal.
Somebody throw something at Carl.
There's no one I can make fun of that is currently on this call. So, Anyway,
so let's move on to
were you playing
the next
Willy because that's not any worse.
Yeah. Were you playing with your Willy while looking at Snatch?
While looking at Snatch. Jeez, Carl. Scully, ask questions.
When you can stop laughing.
So, somebody who can breathe, ask questions.
Exactly. Who's that?
Okay, I'll go first then.
Okay.
Name Turkish's casino.
Cherry? I don't know.
No idea.
Kelly?
I don't remember.
Rod, what did you say?
Cherry.
No. Anybody else want to throw something out just to get something out there?
Heathers.
Snatch.
Heathers, no.
Now, Heathers do a fine job at getting themselves out there. Sorry.
The racetrack?
No. Jesters.
Jesters.
I should remember that. It's the name of my freaking cat.
It's in a big lighted sign on the ceiling.
Yep.
And then it's written ways across the windows.
Fair enough. And I'm losing connection.
Get it. And waved at. Can you hear me?
I think we lost him again.
I apologize for the technical difficulties, people. Come on.
All right.
Okay, we're back.
I can hear everybody, Lisa?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. Luckily, my Insta keeps recording. I just apologize for the technical difficulties while I'm out. Because it doesn't record y'all. It records me.
Yeah. It sucks. Okay. Anyway. That one was Jesters. And another naming one. After the great car crash scene, what's the name of the bar that Cousin Avi and Bullet Tooth go to?
Holy crap. I'm just going to throw out Twist of Lime.
I'm going to throw out Purple.
Scully, save and 42.
No. crap.
I'll give you half a point if you can tell me who said the name of the bar.
Oh, the American cousin.
Nope.
I don't remember it at all.
You don't remember the name at all?
No.
Yeah. The only time the name is referenced, it's not even on a sign out front. The sign out front just has the address. But the only time you hear it is Bullet Tooth when he's on the phone. He says they're at the Drunken Trout.
Nice name, though.
I know, I love it.
It's
an awesome British pub name.
Yes, it is.
I still like the Feisty Goat.
Well, you know how you name British pubs, don't you, Rod?
No.
Yeah, you have two columns of words. One is all verbs, and one is all adjectives, and one is all animals, and you hit random.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's actually a British pub in Maine called the Drunken Goat.
Nice. Nice. I know there's a Feisty Goat in London that's actually a relatively popular British pub.
All right, so those were mine. No points.
Okay. Scully.
There's a song playing in the car when Bullet Tooth is interrogating who's the artist and what
Madonna.
Is the song name. What's the song name, too?
Shit. I know it. Where did I see that?
The artist everybody knows.
Like a Virgin.
No, it's... Shit. It's on the tip of my fucking tongue.
He like turns up the music too.
I'm gonna guess with a. I'm gonna guess with Material Girl.
Oh.
Just a second. I'm like literally, I've got it right there, and I can't. Damn it!
Oh, come on.
It's right there. Damn it, I'm not...
Wait, I'm...
Lucky Star.
Yes.
I was thinking lucky, lucky, lucky what? Anyway.
Also,
oh, there it is. Yep.
What is the make and caliber of Bullet Tooth's gun?
Desert Eagle 50 caliber.
56.
50 caliber.
50 caliber. 50. I was trying to answer it fast enough, and I got distracted by Carl. Strangely wow. enough, I don't know why I said six. Oh, next six.
Yeah. Desert Eagle six. Makes two calibers, the 50 and the 45, and this was the 50.
Yes. Crap. Oh, yeah. what is in the van when...
Wait, you only have two questions.
Oh, sorry. That was something else.
And on there. All right, Lisa?
What color of sweater was Gorgeous George wearing?
Purple.
Green.
Pink.
Well, during the fight scene, though?
Yeah, when?
When he gets knocked the fuck out?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with brown, actually. You guys already got your answers in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any of them right?
It was a red hoodie.
Oh, I should have stuck with pink.
It's not pink, it's light red. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Lisa.
It was white.
How much and how fast does a pig eat?
They can eat about 2 pounds per minute.
Yeah.
Which is actually completely wrong by his math. I actually did the math because I was so pissed off at the about 2 pounds per minute bit. I was like, nope, your math is wrong. Your math is off.
He's a gangster. Did you really expect him to have math skills?
Actually, given his position in the gang and the fact that they make so much money out of gambling, I would expect him to have absolutely superb math skills.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be, considering he gave out all of the variables ahead of time, I thought he could do better math than that, was really what I was thinking.
But on the flip side of that, when I'm watching the scene, I actually just didn't care. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it came down to. I just didn't
care. Yeah.
Okay, so my turn to ask questions, correct?
Yep.
What's our standing score? I've got one.
You have one? Where did you get one?
The Lucky Star. The
Lucky Star.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, you and I have one then.
Okay.
And
Scully has one too.
Scully.
2 pounds.
So I'm definitely going to lose, which a shock. Surprise, surprise.
You're going to beat me. I don't have one yet.
Okay, how many times was the Russian shot by Bullet Tooth before dying?
I knew I should have counted. And I did at one point.
Eight.
Seven.
Actually, he was only shot six.
Yeah.
Really?
Six times.
Because he was shot. He was shot the full. No, he was actually shot the full clip inside his Desert Eagle.
Yeah.
It emptied the clip, but he actually shot through the wall several times, shooting two other people in the process.
No, he switched clips as he came into the hallway.
Yeah.
Either way, I actually rewound it.
He actually put in a brand new clip.
I said he was still shot with a full clip is because he went to shoot Tyrone and the gun was empty.
Yep. Because he'd wasted all of them on the Russian.
I agree with you. In principle, it should have been more, but by counting, it was only six. But, and that was hilarious when he shoots him that last time. He just, like, fucking die. Anyway, what scene was director Guy Ritchie in? What did he do? What scene did he do his cameo in?
Oh, he was in the second boxing scene, I think.
Yeah, wasn't he the one where you have all the qualities of a dog except loyalty?
I don't remember when that line was made.
That was in Brick. It was in Bricktop's office when he killed the two guys.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The bags actually, over their head.
In that one. In the scene in the bar when it is. Oh, I'm sorry.
You forgot to ask Lisa.
I forgot to wait on this.
I don't know, so go ahead.
Oh.
Okay. In the scene in the bar when Doug the Head is eating and drinking, there's a guy sitting next to him reading a newspaper. and you can blatantly see his face. That's actually director Guy Ritchie.
Oh, and I will make two corrections here. Earlier when I said that Desert Eagle only makes two calibers, they make three, a .357, a .44, and a 50 cal. And the magazine capacity for a 50 cal is seven rounds.
Seven rounds.
Yep.
I know, like I said, I know I counted six shots, and I rewound it to count down, because by this scene, I was like, I got to get another question. So I figured y'all would get that immediately. Okay, so audience question. Who won?
The three of you.
The three of
you. Yeah. Do you have an extra question, Lisa?
Lisa, you got a question.
The dog swallowed a squeaky toy. What color was it?
Yep. Pink.
Yeah, it was a little pink round
pink pig.
Toy ball. Yep.
It was a pink pig.
I heard Carl first, so pink got it.
I said yellow. But, so Carl was not playing with his willy, which makes me wonder what Lisa was doing.
Lisa, trying not to fall asleep.
Lisa, whose willy were you playing with for Snatch?
Do you really want me to answer that question on the air?
Yes, actually, I do, personally. the question is, does anyone else want you to answer that question on the air? Anyways, okay, so, Carl, you get to ask the audience question first, being, what is this, your 52nd week in a row that you've won Mr. Willie? Because apparently you have no sex drive left at your age. Anyway, Carl, ask your audience.
Okay, when Cousin Avi and Bullet Tooth Tony are going through Boris's floor safe, he's got all kinds of paperwork and weapons and all kinds of shit in there in addition to the diamond. Also in there are some fragmentation grenades. How many fragmentation grenades are in Boris's floor safe?
42.
No.
It's a joke.
Purple.
It's not the answer. Okay, Lisa. Or actually, I guess Scully came inside.
So I had mentioned that the about 2 pounds is way off. So what is the actual value to, I'll give you hundredths place of the actual pound per minute that a pig can go through?
You want them to actually look up how fast, how much meat a pig
can eat? It's easy math. He gives you all the variables. Just do the math.
All I'm saying is our current audience is listening to a show called Movies in the Buff. We've been making Snatch and David Bowie cock jokes all night long, and you're asking a math question of them?
I like that.
I'm just kidding. I love our buffers. I really do. Anyway, okay. So, Lisa, would you like to ask your audience question?
Are you sure you don't want to go first? Because you answered more questions than I did.
I always go last, though, so go ahead.
All right. Carl, I may need help pronouncing a name. What year was Dinovitz founded?
Dinovitz, the jewelry company.
That's a really good question that I would not have been able to answer.
Yeah, that for the record, that's Doug the Head's jewelry store.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. As for my audience question, in this movie, Brad Pitt had three visible religious tattoos when he was boxing. One on his chest, one below his third rib on the right, and one on his back. Name all three.
Wow.
I can't. I'm staring at him long enough.
Honestly think that Scully just got a little wet here on that question.
You said all, I'm like, I know in order what each one of those ones are. One of them's really bad.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't have actually been able to answer that question.
You don't have the attraction for lack of
tattoos and body art that I do.
Oh, I have the attraction for tattoos and body art. I just don't have it when it's on Brad Pitt.
See, even I have to admit a little bit of sexual attraction to Brad Pitt in certain movies, not particularly that.
Definitely certain movies. This one is probably the only one.
See, I'm going with Troy. I thought he was sexy in Troy. I gotta admit that.
I haven't seen Troy yet.
For Rod's homosexual rants. Anyway, for the record, audience, I am not gay, no matter what kind of jokes we want to make. But let's face it, some men are attractive out there. Or at least they're made that so by their makeup artists. So, moving on into mental debuff on that particular note. God, I have worse timing tonight. Carl, you won. Were you playing with your Willie? So would you like to mental debuff?
So you're asking for my ultimate opinion of Snatch.
Exactly.
Okay.
Warm.
This is... it's a dirty, gritty thrill ride that, you know, it just keeps turning and turning and turning. It's kind of like a $20 hooker that way. You know, dirty, gritty, and keeps turning and turning and turning. Yeah.
So Lisa was drinking at the time.
So that was Carl's opinion of dirty, gritty, and turning Snatch.
Yep.
Wow. Carl, I haven't said this enough in recent history, but I really do love you, man. All right. Scully, would you like to mental debuff Snatch?
I honestly could have sworn you were going to ask me if I liked Snatch. I was waiting for it. I really was.
We've already
declared. Well, do you?
No,
not really.
Do you like Snatch because you have wet Snatch for Snatch? Oh my wow. God. I went way too far there. I'm
wow.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Mental debuff. It's definitely a feel-good movie. So it's one that you watch when you don't really want to, like when you want to watch a movie that's got a lot of little details to it and a lot of intricate storyline, but you've seen it so many times that you already know the end. It's a rainy day movie. Shut up.
I'm still hung up on the ringtone you gave us of Snatch as a feel good movie.
Yes. I'm sorry, but...
Scully, I just want to fall back on Scully thinks Snatch feels good.
I am so glad
there's another woman here who gives ringtones.
All I'm saying is, and I'm trying to be absolutely 100% serious here for once in my entire life, myself, Carl, partially Lisa, and our entire audience is not in the right mindset for you to say things like feel good and in the end. I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm not. As funny as that sounds, but I'm just saying.
Unfortunately, I am fantastic at saying things like that without even thinking of the other interpreted comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going any further.
Yeah, she speaks great Lisa ease.
At least when it comes
to yes.
I'm not making the joke. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to rise above it.
Right. Since when?
Okay. What time is it?
It's time for Lisa's mental debuff.
Exactly.
So not what Rod expected me to say.
No, I thought about it just as I was.
Am I that forgettable, guys?
No, it's just the fact that you're popping up in last in this rotation. And let's face facts, my mind is on Snatch. Okay, Lisa.
Oh, I could say so many things to that, Rod.
Yeah, that's what she said. Don't overthink that one, Carl. Lisa, mental debuff us.
Okay, granted, we have three of the goofiest robbers around. I mean, at least do your research. But other than that, it was still a pretty good movie. Although I still want to slap the stupidity of those three guys. But that's just me. I don't like... I can't handle stupid.
In their defense...
But yeah, I think I will BBs. Will watch this again. Do what?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were done. I was going to say, in their defense, they use blanks and not BBs.
Yeah.
So.
And
for the whole movie, they were kind of stupid. I mean, they rob a gangster and didn't know who they were robbing.
And, you know, she just reminded me of a scene that we completely skipped over in our roundtable. Mm. And that was when they're getting ready to rob the bookies, when they accidentally block their target into his car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And knock him the fuck out.
Yep.
Yeah. Fair enough.
They also have the hilarious quote of, you're not from this world, are you? Who's gonna, in their right mind, is gonna rob two black guys in a car with guns?
Yes. I thought that was pretty good. Okay, so. Now, does anybody know what time it is? Obviously, the lead-in's been killed here.
Carl's castigations.
Oh, Rod did not fall out of a truck today.
Exactly. For once. By the way, I'm doing much better, if anybody's wondering. Nobody's wondering. So, all right. Rod, it's time. Ladies and gentlemen, we present to you Pulp Fiction. No, wait, I mean Reservoir Dogs. Wait, I mean Kill Bill. I mean Green Street Hooligans. The Bank Job. Gritty fantasy starring Brad Pitt as Mushmouth, Jason Statham as Humphrey Bogart, several Rodney Dangerfield wannabes, a black Larry Curley and Moe, and Vinnie Jones as well. Vinnie Jones? This is a high-stakes game of button-button who's got the button I've ever seen. And let's face facts. We've all heard the old saying about pinching coal and shitting a diamond, but who knew it could be done by dogs? Finally, Three Stooges do a crime movie. And somehow they still manage to throw Brad Pitt's grease-covered anorexic, massively dirty in the middle ass in the middle. It was like someone looked at Guy Ritchie and said, "Who the hell would buy this?" And his immediate response is, "Well, fuck it. We'll throw Brad Pitt in, and at least some overly moist, ice cream munching, anal addicted middle-aged women will watch it." All I'm saying, Mr. Ritchie, is I love the movie, but Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino are not good role models for this stage of your mental development. And ladies and gentlemen, that's tonight's Rod's Rants.
Nice.
I liked it. I mean, it wasn't as funny as some of them, but it really got to the heart of the issue, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Dags.
Dags.
Anyway.
Well, at least he didn't say the other one.
Snatch.
We'll leave that one for Carl.
If you combine the two, then you just have snags.
Oh, that ain't right.
That is so not right.
All right. I actually have no idea what we're doing next week. Shows you how prepared I was.
Yeah, we're doing Drive.
Drive, right. That Ryan Gosling movie that no one's watched. Which, by the way, Ryan Gosling, excellent actor, so I'm very much looking forward to it. I've never heard of this movie. Apparently it came out in 2011.
Yeah. It was a fairly quiet release last year. I remember hearing about it, and I have not seen it. The reason that I put it up here is because Nicole Spagnuolo kept recommending it. So yeah. I'll trust her.
Yeah, I mean, she does tend to have good taste. But I'm afraid for the fact that we are starting to learn our lesson about putting movies on the list that we've never seen. So, yeah. It makes me a little scared, but she does have good taste, so we'll go with it. It's getting really horrible reviews. So, we'll see what we can do to it. So, we have Extreme Justice Snatch Drive.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going well for us, but join us next week where we'll be doing Drive in the Buff. And keep watching those movies in the buff, because you know it's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Hello, Buffers. It's your favorite host. I'm taking a second to let you know you can find us on Facebook and Google+, and have some absolutely naughty conversations with your other Buffers. And as always, if you need to talk or flirt with our team of debauchery, you can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. That's 3 F's. Trust me, we love to talk to our fans, especially the good-looking ones. Movies in the Buff was recorded with Creative Commons, Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 US License.